It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Stuff that needs to be talked about because we should talk about them. Wow. You know, Robert Mazur, you know, I mean, 5 years inside, man. That has to change you. You know, wow. But they don't see the connection between enormous profits, corruption, and the drug war. But you need to be more. Something but what about methamphetamine? You know, that's why Mark Victor titled his article "Legalize Methamphetamine." You know, that's why on this show you'll see in the rejoinder, you know, Charles saying, "Roads, this Ernest Hancock show where we're going, there aren't any roads." You know, because it always comes down to, yeah, but what about the roads? You know, what about my freaking flying Jetson mobile? What about that? Where's my Jetson mobile? How come I don't have my Jetson mobile? Because the government building all these roads. you're killing me. To them, you know, freedom's never the answer. You know, I go, no, freedom's always the answer. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I already know what the answer is before you even finish the question. More freedom. But to them, it's not. It's more jackboot, more enforcement, more sentence, longer terms. We need to, you know, go what? You know, and the very people that he wants to give more time to, they control the people that would give him the time. I mean, how how long and how many times do we got to go through this to understand that this is exactly what's going on? Oh, the movie Traffic. Of course, he hasn't seen it. Maybe he has, but. You know, it's Michael Douglas and, you know, a bunch of stars in it. You know, Catherine Zeta-Jones, you know, plays a major part. We have, you know, a lot of people. And it just really goes to show that, you know, this is going to, as long as you got these enormous profits, you're going to have this enormous corruption. And what happens? The shiny badges, the sheriffs, the customs border guys, the... you know, special agents in charge and all this. You know, of course, if he went higher than what the little agency that he had in Florida, of course it was going to get squashed. That's why the guys were there, is to say, no, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You're messing with the wrong, you know, they went in and they took down BCCI, you know, for, I don't know, what did they stop? For how long? But we do agree on one thing. I mean, we need to be educated about the dangers of. But the thing is that I've been through this. I've lived long enough. I remember, you know, marijuana in the high school day back in the 70s, you know, ditch weed. You know, it was like, you know, you'd buy big giant bales of it and throw it on campfires and maybe the mosquitoes would get high. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it sure as heck wouldn't, you know, go, oh, a contact high at a Beach Boys concert. I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, now it just keeps getting more and more potent. You know, coca leaves getting chewed on by Bolivian peasants, which now they just kicked out the DEA and said, you know what, you can grow coca plants in your backyard again, please. Because that's just, you know, it was like us drinking coffee. They just go around chewing on these leaves all the time, you know, give them, you know, it's like they're a five-hour drink, you know, hit thing, you know, wake-you-up deal. They get, well, we got a natural version of this. We just gnaw on these leaves. Well, what do? They process them into cocaine. Oh, no, no, no. You got to get even smaller, like Prohibition. You got to get the whiskey instead of, you know, a beer. Takes up too much space, too much weight. Got to get the alcohol, man. Yeehaw. You know, so that's where the Kennedys, that's where all Joe Kennedy's money came from, is, you know, rum running. So I'm going, all right. So it goes to hard liquor. So now we become a country of hard liquor. Yay. And now we're into hard drugs. Yeah, cocaine down in the crack. You know, I agree with Robert, man. You take a hit of crack. I remember, when was this? It was probably early 80s. I'd probably been, did a year of college and was kind of out. I was in Ohio. It was about 82 and 83, around in there. And it was a young guy that was one of my assistant managers. Managed a pizza restaurant. And he goes, yeah, I've done heroin before. I'll never do it again. I go, wow, man, that bad? He goes, no, that good. He goes, I sat in a chair for 9 hours. Yay. And I go, okay, that's a good lesson. Thanks for sharing. That probably one I won't be doing. Then you have crack cocaine. Ah, the best feeling, best orgasm I ever had. I mean, just a man, you always, and you'll never get that high. You know what I'm thinking? That's the best feeling I ever want to have, is from a, you know, a hit of some substance. You know, is that going to wipe away the births of my children, my wedding day, you know, other happy moments, grandchildren, and so on? I want to replace that with a top end feeling of a hit from a crack pipe. You know, it's just a decision. You just, you know, no. So I, you know, methamphetamine. Heck, I know people have been on methamphetamine. Man, it just totally destroys their life. It's like every time. It's amazing. It's the most addictive, crazy drug. You know, I tell you what the deterrent to methamphetamine is the methamphetamine addict. So all you got to do is look at him. You're going, wow. So that's the point that Mark was making. He's going, look, man, legalize. It's because it's illegal that you have these substances keep getting refined and the stronger and stronger and more and try me and do me and hooking, creating a market for themselves. It's like, you know, Joe the Camel for cigarette kind of cartoon doing, please, you know, stop. Did freedom ever even enter your mind as being a solution? And why not? Why isn't freedom, you know, even come as an option? I don't know. It's just the way their mentality. You know, these people are in these positions of power or authority, or at least he's willing to, you know, yeah, well, there would be other problems. Yep, there probably would be. Compared to what we have now, and then the bad guys that are, like he admits, the bad guys are that at the center of this the most. The money launderers, the drug dealers, the bad guys. The very kind of guys that he went after in the BCCI uncovering of the bank laundering. They're the ones that get away. They're the ones that pay a small percentage of their fine, of their profits and a fine, and they just say, yeah, you know, it's been real. People that are at the highest levels of the United States government. What'd you think was going to happen? Iran-Contra. You know, a lot of people don't, they just don't know the history. You know, it's, you have, you know, what was his name? Hassan Fuss. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, it's here's a guy that was smuggling. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and read it. Here, I'll pull up on Wiki. Love Wiki. Eugene H. Hassenfuss is a United States citizen who was alleged by Nicaraguan Sandinista authorities to be employed by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency after a plane he was aboard crashed on Nicaraguan soil. Hassenfuss was a former Marine from Marionette, Wisconsin, who had been an unemployed construction worker at the time when he secured work, alleged by Sandinista to be a cargo handler for the CIA, that was stated by Hassenfuss himself, who later retracted that statement. Hassenfuss was aboard the Fairchild C-123 cargo plane, formerly United States Air Force plane, shot down over Nicaragua on October 5th, 1986, while delivering supplies to Nicaraguan Contras. Now, see, this is part of the Iran-Contra thing with Oliver North and all that kind of stuff. What was going on was they didn't want to go into another Vietnam. And they said, no. You're going to have these, fund this Contras to go up against the Sandinistas. You want to do a regime change and all this other crap. Fine. You can do that, without congressional approval and no money. And we have a law that says you can't do it. Well, they wanted to do it anyway. Well, who did? I don't know. They, them, those. And what they did is they said, well, we're going to raise money privately, and we're going to, there's nothing wrong with, privately, we can go supply them with, plane loads of army boots, ammunition, guns, whatever. On the way back, the planes are empty. Well, that's a missed opportunity. Let's fill it with drugs. And who did he say? Hey, man, I'm working for Vice President George Bush. Ex-CIA. So I'm just, what do you think? And when was this thing, the infiltrators, done? Right after this was going on. Did this stop it? No. It'll never stop.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Our top story tonight, my weekend. And why it took me an hour and 15 minutes to get a cup of coffee and a bagel on Sunday morning. I'll tell you why.
Dueling protests this Sunday near Ground Zero.
Supporters and opponents of the project are both staging rallies today.
No hot chicken! No hot chicken!
Yes, excuse me, but there is an Etza bagel here, so I understand you're both very angry. I just was wondering if I could make it. My son actually loves a strudel, and I'm going to... Of course, that was a crowd shouting at a random Ground Zero construction worker who happened to be walking by wearing a skull cap. Emotions were high, but why was everyone so suspicious?
Where is the money coming from?
Where are they going to get the $100 million from?
We're following the money trail. Where is this money coming from? This guy has questionable ties. Here's the one that we should all really worry about. Where's Iran in this?
Yeah, it's a little Muslim guilt by association game. Last week we called it 6 degrees of people who don't eat bacon. And I held up a card. I held up a card of people showing that you could use the same logic to actually link Fox News with dangerous Saudi money. Since the largest News Corp shareholder outside of the Murdoch family is the Saudi prince Al-Walid bin Talal. It's a stupid and childish game I was playing. I was not suggesting that Fox News being in business with bin Talal was actually sinister. I was just using their same reasoning to attack Iman Ralph. But this morning, Fox News got more specific about the real danger posed by the mosque's funding.
The Kingdom Foundation, which has been a funder of Imam Rauf in the past, the Kingdom Foundation, so you know, is this Saudi organization headed up by the guy who tried to give Rudy Giuliani $10 million after 9/11 that was sent back.
Right.
He funds radical madrasas all over the world.
And he funds this imam.
The money might be coming from this evil Kingdom Foundation, run by a Wahhabist 9/11 sympathizing, American hating... No. That's Rupert Murdoch's partner in News Corp. Show me the dangerous money guy behind Imam Ralph's Ground Zero Terror Mosque. That's... There we go. No, that's... You're not changing the picture. No! Why is the terror funder shaking hands? Why? Why is the terror funder shaking hands with a two-legged basset hound? Wait, that's Rupert Murdoch! The owner of Fox News. The terror funder is Rupert Murdoch's News Corp partner. No! No! No!
no, no, we're not gonna follow me around. We're not gonna. No, no. I guess everyone fainted in the control room. That's right. The guy they're painting as a sinister money force owns part of Fox News. Let's do as Fox News commands and follow the money. This is the proposed terror mosque. We know that it's a terror mosque because the money may be coming from a bad guy who definitely owns part of Fox News. Now, we know that he's a bad guy because we just heard it on Fox News. And by hearing it on Fox News, watching Fox News, I'm increasing their viewership. And their advertising rates go up. Now, part of that money goes to the bad guy we learned about on Fox because he's their part owner, Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, allowing him then to make it rain, so to speak, on the terror mosque. My point is this. If we want to cut off funding to the terror mosque, we must, together as a nation, stop watching Fox. It's the only way. Using their reasoning, it's the only way to cut off the revenue stream to these bad dudes. Now, here's the most curious part about this entire report.
The Kingdom Foundation, so you know, is this Saudi organization headed up by the guy who tried to give Rudy Giuliani $10 million after 9/11 that was sent back.
Right.
He funds radical madrasas all over the world.
And he funds Asima.
Fox tells us the terrible thing about this Kingdom Foundation is where they fund it. It's a very bad guy. But they never mentioned this fella's name. And they never showed this fella's picture. And they certainly never mentioned that the fellow they're talking about is part owner of their company. Did the gang at Fox and Friends genuinely not know the head of the Kingdom Foundation's name and the fact that he is one of their part owners? Or were they purposely covering it up because it did not help their fear-driven narrative? For more, we're joined by senior media analyst John Oliver and Wyatt Cenac. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks very much. John, do you know what? I'm going to go with they didn't know. Remember, things are hectic on the morning show, plus Gretchen isn't there and she's the only one who knows how to use Google. Also, it was probably a Hooters Freedom Monday. I just think at the end of the day, they didn't know.
So you're...
Exactly. I'm with stupid.
All right. Wyatt.
Nobody's that stupid. They're deliberately hiding the truth. If Al-Waleed wasn't part owner of Fox News, they'd have gone to town demonizing this guy. They would have said his full name over and over again. Al-Waleed bin Talal. Al-Waleed bin Talal. And look at these villainous pictures. You don't even need to doctor them. He already looks like he's about to feed Timothy Dalton to his white tiger. Fox wants to allude to Al-Waleed, but doesn't want viewers looking the guy up and learning about their own ties to him.
But then, Wyatt, why mention this guy at all? Why get into the money trail of this cultural center if it leads right back to Fox?
I'll take this one. Because they're stupid, John. Staggeringly, achingly, almost inspiringly stupid. So let's look at the evidence here.
China is not too far away, and it's a great big country that it needs a whole bunch of stuff.
When I first saw this logo, I wasn't really thinking this, but upon further review, perhaps I should have been. And that is, if you look at the Nuclear Security Summit logo, what does that have in common with all those other flags there?
I would just wanted to see how much of an insult it was to be called an ignoramus. Since I didn't know what it meant, I just Googled it. For all of you out there who don't know what ignoramus is, like
me, it can't be good.
It's an ignorant lawyer.
Let's break that down. She didn't know what ignoramus meant, so she looked it up, and she still got it wrong. John, even they did know Al Waleed's ties to News Corp, the odds of getting them to mention it on the program would be random at best. You do know they don't even have a teleprompter at Fox News. It's just a man jangling his keys above the camera.
Look, I'll give you Kilmeade and Ducey, but do you know who Dan Senor and Dana Perino used to work for? George W. Bush. And do you know who George W. Bush used to hang with? Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. Bum, bum, bum. That's some evil It's a level of knowing obfuscation that can only come from having a heart of pure evil.
Guys, this is obviously a very polarizing debate. There's lots of contradictory evidence. Is there a chance there is perhaps a third, less explosive explanation, something else?
Oh, no, absolutely not, John. These are the only two possible explanations, because if they're not as stupid as I believe them to be, they are really f***ing evil.
And if they're not as evil as I think they are stupid.
Yep.
We're talking potatoes with mouths.
Oh, yep. Not even potatoes, White. A potato can still power a digital clock, so...
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Rocks. Yeah. You're talking about rocks with mouths.
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, rocks with mouths. I'm glad you two can come to some agreement. Thank you very much. John Oliver, Wyatt Cenac. We'll be right back.
Oh, do you start to get the point? And whether you agree with this or not is not even the point. It's that this is what the next generation sees. This is where they get their news. You know, from Saturday Night Live, you know, from Mad TV, from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, from the Colbert Report, you know, whether you consider them left and liberal, you know, it didn't change the fact that Fox News is just stupid or evil or both. Because this is, I could see this coming a mile away when it first started. Seriously, a mosque being built in New York. You know, heck, anywhere in New York, they would have freaked out. But they generate these issues as jangling keys above the camera. I mean, it's just a distraction. Don't you feel it? Don't you see it? Didn't you feel it coming? Or did you just feel good about, you know, being mad about something? I mean, what is it? We know the truth, or at least trying to find it, and I'm trying to share it with you. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence, our last segment, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
For just under 24 hours, Julian Assange was officially an accused rapist.
I can confirm that Julian Assange yesterday evening was arrested in his absence, and the allegations are molestation and rape.
Assange found out through Swedish media. He responded on Twitter saying the charges are without basis. Then, the same day, the case was handed to another prosecutor and the arrest warrant was suddenly cancelled.
Mr. Assange is no longer under arrest, so he's no longer wanted. And the reason for this is that he's no longer accused of rape.
The new prosecutor insists no one made a mistake.
I had more information available to me than the on-call prosecutor had, and my decision doesn't mean that there was anything wrong with her decision.
Swedish media has reported two different women made separate complaints about Assange. The prosecutor says the information they have will be investigated to decide if charges other than rape are appropriate. But Julian Assange believes he is the victim of a smear campaign. The founder of WikiLeaks.org says he'd been warned about what he calls dirty tricks after the website published 76,000 secret US government documents about the war in Afghanistan. He told Swedish newspaper Aftonbladet, "I don't know who is behind this, but we have been warned that, for example, the Pentagon is planning on using dirty tricks to destroy our work. I have also been warned about sex traps." He was asked, "Have you just fallen for one of those?" He replied, "Maybe, maybe not." The Pentagon says Assange's claims are ridiculous. The Swedish prosecutor says if it was a conspiracy, it wasn't a very good one. Phil Black, CNN, London.
Yep, here it comes. Well, what do we have on front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now? WikiLeaks says it will release CIA paper soon. WikiLeaks, the whistleblower website that infuriated the Pentagon when it published thousands of classified military reports, said on Tuesday it will release another document soon. Yeah, and what might that be? Some more good days. Here it comes. Well, and asked him, did you fall for a sex trap? I don't know. It seemed like it was an easy pickup in a bar. that's how these things go, It's just, So I guess they found out a little bit more and they withdrew the charges. But, it is a nice little distraction. But what did it really show? It shows that they're going to go after him. This is why when they have these build up, what got him in trouble was the release of the tapes? No. It's the not yet released information that he has that they're going to be doing tomorrow or today. Those won't leave us alone. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I've had my, run-ins, my offers, but just fortunately, I tell you what my secret weapon is, and I hesitate saying this, but it's my wife. If it wasn't for my wife, it wouldn't even be worth doing all this stuff. My family, my kids, my wife, my grandkids. I'm satisfied. I'm good. And any sex trap they'd have, if it didn't include my wife, I'm not interested anyway. So, it's just, I don't know what they're going to do. Now, is it money they're going to get me with? I got my family. This kind of stuff goes on all the time. So what are they going to be releasing? The group posted on its Twitter page, WikiLeaks to release CIA paper tomorrow. The website set off a firestorm recently when it posted some 76,000 U.S. documents related to the war in Afghanistan. The group has said it has another 15,000 documents, which it plans to release soon. Well, the reason they held those back is that they have a lot of editors, a team of people are going through all this stuff. I mean, you want to make sure it's like old operations. You're not jeopardizing troops in the field or some agent, or you want to redact some certain things, or it doesn't matter if you got a name in there or not about somebody just doing their job out in the middle of, PFC, whatever. This is just they're going through these documents. They had 15,000 left and they're going, okay, and here they are. So now are we going to get an investigation on the charges against him? And why did they pick there? Why Sweden? Has he spent a lot of time there? Why Sweden? Because Sweden offered them access to their country to have insulation from any kind of jurisdiction that would shut down the servers. They said, I think that's what happened. That's how I understood it. They were like, yeah, come on over here, man. The water's fine. So where are they going to smear his name? There. Now what do they do? What if he does do a crime? What if he is a bad? Anything they say about him now is not going to have any weight anyway. It's how these guys think. It's how eventually someday, something's going to happen here sooner or later. I mean, we poke enough eyes that, they're going to come after Freedom's Phoenix or me or the show or something, whatever. Spell it right. I can't keep track of how many times I've gone through this. Heck, just recently on the immigration thing, domestic terrorists. There was a time that we couldn't get any press coverage in the 90s without it having at least three adjectives. It was, tie-dye wearing, dope-smoking, gun-toting, crazy libertarian Ernest Hancock says. As time went on, it dropped one adjective, another one, another one, another one, and, now I'm lucky to get the libertarian part. And I never had a problem with it because I didn't care. I mean, all the more reason people would remember what the issue was. It's not about me. It's not about all this, all these people we work so hard doing all this stuff. It's to get implanted into the mind of the public that there are problems. What are they? How are they perpetuated? Who's behind them? What's the truth? So Julian Assange is going to release some more papers. What are we going to find out from them? And what's going to be the distraction from it? I don't know. Might be something. Last hour we were talking to Robert Mazur, author of The Infiltrator, and how, as a federal agent, he got inside with the bankers that were laundering all kinds of, you know, trillions of dollars over the years in drug money and so on, what he thinks should happen, everything. You know, legalization is not even on his radar. And I'm going, well, you're not going to stop this. You know, and we have on Freedom's Phoenix today, the charges against drug war activist Barry Cooper dismissed. Now, if you guys remember who Barry Cooper was, Barry Cooper was a narc. He was a narcotics officer, I think, with, I don't remember who he worked for. But he's just like, no, we're at it. You know, there was an enormous setup, just corrupt charges against a gentleman's wife. I mean, no, it was his daughter. Yeah, I think it was his daughter in Texas and or Oklahoma or whatever it was. And they just did the kangaroo court thing, convicted her years in jail. And it was just a, you know, informant said she was this drug leader and conspirator and so on. And they planted drugs on her when they stopped her and she didn't have any because they were just because they can, you know. Well, then this guy calls in the cop busters and they did a hoax on the police. They created a, you know, kind of let them think that there was a little clandestine drug lab going on somewhere. Well, they went in and they got busted. You know, the way they did it was wrong and they just made it up and they did, you know, just really he just embarrassed them and got it all on tape and did it on his, you know, show that he has. I guess he had it on cable or something like that or sure as heck made it a big deal on YouTube. And he just nails these guys. Well, he knows how they work because he was one of them. So they didn't like that none too much, so they went after him, you know, for filing a false report and all this other. Well, they dismissed the charges. I don't think they really wanted to try this thing. So the dismissal includes the same misdemeanor charge filed against his wife, Candy Cooper, and 50-year-old Tammy Grimes of Gardendale, who was accused of being an accomplice in the Cop Busters hoax. The decision to dismiss the charges came despite a lengthy criminal investigation into a fake marijuana grow house that Cooper organized as a ruse to expose what he insisted was corruption and incompetence within the Odessa Police Department. Cooper said he set up the grow house after he was hired by the father of Yolanda Jean Madden. Now, this is the woman that they entrapped. They all just made it up. An Odessa woman who for months claimed police conspired to plant drugs on her. Madden, who had her conviction set aside for a new trial, recently pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine and was sentenced to time served. Well, that was the deal that they made with her. You plead guilty and you don't have to go back. Is that how it works? Was she guilty? After maintaining her innocence for nearly 5 years, Yolanda Jean Madden pleaded guilty Monday to federal judge charges in an about-face that brought an abrupt end to the contentious case. The plea agreement provided an ironic final chapter to an already dramatic and unusual plot. The Odessa woman, whose allegations of a police conspiracy prompted a federal judge to release her from prison and grant her a new trial, admitted her guilt for the first time, but she won't go back to prison. Was she guilty? You know, it uncovered so much stuff. And I'm just, this drug war is just, can we not? I want a peaceful planet for my grandkids and me. I want to be left alone. I want to be able to thrive and survive. Who's in my way? Well, it's going to become more and more obvious as time goes on that, it's usually somebody with a badge. So hopefully we can work with them here in Phoenix. We'll keep you informed of what's going on here, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. We'll see you then.